For this morning's devotion, I'll be reading Psalm 93. It is a short psalm. It is 5 verses, but it's packed full of with a declaration of the Lord's majesty, his might, his sovereignty. And verse 1 begins with an exaltation of our Lord God. He is above all creation, for he is the primary mover and sustainer of creation. And so if you have your Bibles and want to turn to Psalm 93, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved." Now verse 2 declares his eternal reign and control over all. Never has he been out of control. Never will he ever lose that control or give that up. He has always been in control. And his throne is an everlasting throne. We read of that throughout the Bible in Psalm 145 and verse 13, and Psalm 45, verse 6. Also in the New Testament, 2 Peter talks about his everlasting throne. And so verse 2 says, "Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting." Now, verse 3, in the King James Version, it says that the floods lift up. And here we see there is opposition to God's rule. We see this three times declared, the floods lift up, in verse 3. This is a reference to possibly maybe individual people, but most likely the powers and principalities of wickedness trying to lift themselves up and trying to make themselves in that seat that God alone holds. This is the spiritual realm, much like Lucifer is described doing in Isaiah 14, when he says, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." Now, when you take those two words, "I will," those very pompous statements that Lucifer is making there, and you contract them, you get I apostrophe LL, or as commonly misspelled in a text message, "ill," which is exactly what Lucifer is. He is sick, sick in sin, irredeemable sickness. But these floods that are spoken of in verse 3, and in verse 3 says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves." These floods have absolutely no threat or no power over the Lord's sovereignty. They will not usurp his power and his rule. Because if we continue in verse 4, it says, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." Psalm 65, verse 7, "God stills the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people." And we know that in the New Testament, Jesus himself showed this power while in the flesh. In Matthew 8, verse 26, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and it says that there was a great calm, and his disciples were in great awe. Who is this one that can speak to the winds and they obey him? And that is also spoken of in Proverbs 30, verse 4. Finally, verse 5 leaves the reader with comfort and assurance that these declarations that he has made in this psalm, that they are true, that they are backed not by man's testimony, but by God himself, and God cannot lie. Verse 5 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thy house, O Lord, forever." We all know that human testimonies are imperfect. Someone who testifies in the court of law is required to tell the truth, and even in our best intentions to give a fair and honest representation, we know that we are flawed and our memories are clouded. We forget details. We only see from one perspective. We aren't all-knowing. But God is. God is all-knowing. Nothing escapes his mind. When the Bible says God will remember no more the sins of a repentant sinner, as Jeremiah 31, verse 34, and we will later in our study of Hebrews see in Hebrews 8 and also in Hebrews 10. It doesn't mean that God can't remember the sins of man, but chooses not to enact punishment upon them because they've been dealt with. He remembers no more the sin because it's the sin debt has been dealt with. It's been satisfied by the holy payment of Jesus for when we bring our sins to him, knowing and trusting that it's been paid. And so when we read in verse 5 that holiness becomes thine house, we must be reminded that as children reconciled to God, we are a part of his house. And thus we are declared holy. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says we are a holy nation. And it is forever. When we are marked out for God, he inscribes on us, as Zechariah would later write in Zechariah 14:20, of the all that was in the Lord's house, holiness unto the Lord. That's quite amazing that everything will be inscribed with that. Well, he inscribes us with that because it's his holiness. So let us rest in the sure comforts of our awesome God, no matter what difficulties we endure, for we have been made holy and righteous by his righteousness, and it will not fail. And let us continue to give thanks to our Lord Jesus and follow after him, for we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what an amazing promise that is.